Yes.
So as you know, it's the last part of this series. And if you guys remember, I told you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said that we're actually going to do another series of this next school year. It's going to be either fall or winter, one of those. And it's going to be pretty similar. We'll raise some questions and things like that also. But my hope is, through all of these lessons, that's going to be like 8 in all. Hopefully you guys start to realize the importance of it, how often it is repeated, and how we're called to do it in the Bible. And we've talked quite a bit about it so far. We'll talk about it a lot tonight and in the next series. But even all those put together, we haven't even really scratched the surface even on like how much the Bible talks about it and how God says you're called to, you know, spread my message to the world. So that kind of puts it in perspective a little bit. But the first thing I wanted to mention tonight is that all of us are preachers. But some of us have a pulpit, some of us don't. Okay, for an example, I mean, I've been given a, I guess, responsibility by God to be in this position, this leadership position where I am spreading, hopefully, the good news to all of you, right? But the thing is, just because you guys are not in this position, just because you guys don't have a pulpit in front of you, doesn't mean you're any less of a minister than I am. Does that make sense? He doesn't just say, ministers, if I call you, you're going to go and spread my gospel. You know, he says that for everyone, every believer of his. Here's a little stat for you. 85% of people in this country have claimed to be a Christian at some point in their life. Okay, so remember that, 85%. But only 7% are true evangelical Christians. Now, what is an evangelical Christian? A Christian is basically little Christ, right? Evangelical is comes from the Greek word that means good news. So put them together. What do you get? You get someone who's following Christ that is spreading the good news, the evangelical good news. Okay? So my question to all of you to think about is, why is there such a big gap? Why do 85% of people say they're Christians, but only 7% are spreading the good news and actually being evangelical Christians? Why is that?
Because people don't like being put out of their comfort zones.
It's probably a big reason. I would say there's quite a few reasons. What are some more?
People.
People?
I like them.
You're right.
Safe answer.
People are dumb. Anyone else? Gotta have some ideas. 85% to 7%. It's a big difference.
It is very big.
It's like, what about the 78%?
Oh, yeah, I finally get it.
The other what?
The other 8%, there's different elections.
What do you mean 8%?
You said
85%.
Mm-hmm. No, 7 of 85. So 15% of people don't even consider themselves Christians. Don't break that. All right, well, anyway, let me tell you guys, focus.
Focus. Turn head.
I didn't take my minutes to join the church.
Good job. I want to tell you one reason why I believe there's such a big gap. I believe that there's a lot of people that hear lessons just like this. They hear sermons just like this. They read Bible verses just like the ones that we read and talk about. But then they don't do a darn thing about it. Nothing in their life changes, even though they hear what we're supposed to do. What if they don't understand? It's pretty black and white. If you open that book right there, you will never, ever think that you shouldn't be called to preach the good news of God. I mean, it's all throughout that thing. Something we're called to do. But anyway, my encouragement to all of you is for us to not be like that gap of a group where, you know, in fact, Jesus was so upset with a lot of people in the Bible because he'd say, you say one thing and you don't live it. You don't do what you say you're going to do. And it's a big problem. And I hope that we're not in that group. Go ahead.
I have an actual honest question.
Okay.
What do I do? It's like in Romans, there's one key. kid who actually talks about God and just talks about how he's a Christian. But people always say stuff to him like, don't be mean to Danny, he's going to hit you upside the head with the Bible and stuff like that.
One of those kids.
Huh? Okay. No, I'm not. No.
Which angle are you asking the question from?
What am I supposed to do? Like, I can't talk about God because I don't want that.
You don't, you don't want to be accused of being a Bible beater, right?
You're a Bible beater? Is that what you said?
Yeah,
she will Bible. Slap you if you say unusual comments. She will.
She should.
So
are you talking about your angle to the guy that is getting made fun of or the people that are
no,
making
that's
fun?
What I do because I can't like say anything.
Well, people are viewed in different ways.
I can't even talk about him. What?
Yeah. You feel like
have you ever heard him?
Huh?
Feel like he's ruined it for you?
No, I feel like everyone, he's an example of what happened.
Have you ever heard him personally talk to them?
Yeah,
because
he always talks about God and he's always nice and stuff and he just gets tons of clip with it.
Like, do you have any examples? One example that I'm even picking up, even without hearing exactly what he says, is that he probably does it all the time to where they are like,
no
he doesn't?
No, he doesn't.
Do you have
like,
any example of what he said before?
He just, no, but he just randomly he'll say it sometimes, and he has like Christian truths. There is no problem with it, but people are stupid.
Well, to me, it goes back. We watch those Jesus videos, we watch those Christian Christ follower videos, and the thing we've been talking about a lot is that other Christians have sometimes gotten away of who Christ is, and it's up to us to change that perception. So, I mean, it's not easy. I've had a lot of other Christians that have, you know, said some things to some of my friends, and they're like, the heck, you know, and it's made it harder for me to talk to them.
I know, but he's not making it harder. I mean, I just can't say anything because...
You shouldn't worry about anyone else but what God wants for you to do. You shouldn't compare yourself. Like, I shouldn't compare myself to Billy Graham or Billy Graham.
Who's that?
Big time
preacher.
That's like just asking who Michael Jordan is.
Who's that? Oh, Billy Graham is famous.
Billy Graham is famous.
Billy Graham is
famous.
Billy
Graham
is
famous.
I was just going to say that it's possible he could be doing everything right, but if he's doing it too much, Jesus even said, if they don't listen to you, you just got to back off, and maybe he's not doing that, and that's making them, you know, upset. So it could just be that they need space. Maybe you can talk to him and get a dialogue going with him. But I think what Tyler's saying is that there are Christians who are real pushy. They do it kind of for their own ego or gratification, you know, and they end up being a real pain to everyone. But that's not what you want to do. So if you pray about it and say you want to share truth with them, but you don't want to do it wrong, God will help you understand.
Okay.
For real.
Another thing, think about, like, you know, if you talk to him, let's say Alex Brockett likes something and I think, why would you like that? That's stupid. And then you come the next day and say you like the same thing and I'm thinking, huh, you know, maybe I don't go for it right away, but maybe I'm thinking my mind's changing a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're supposed to.
Sometimes if they find out that two people are the same, it starts to turn things around.
Mm-hmm. In fact, which is one thing we'll talk about the next time we do this series. Jesus calls his disciples two by two in the Bible. He says we're supposed to do it together. So, we're supposed to help each other out in that kind of sense, like Christian brothers and sisters. So,
yeah. If it's a complex situation, we can't give the answer.
Keep us updated, though, on that situation. We'll keep talking about it.
God can give you wisdom.
Moving on, the next thing that I want to talk about is that people are always watching...
You.
Always. Now, I hope that people know you're a Christian. I hope that they at least acknowledge that that's who you are. But the thing is, when people know you are a Christian, they are constantly watching you. They're hoping that you mess up. They're waiting for you to fail, waiting for you to fall.
That's all the time.
What?
At my school.
You what?
That happens all the time. Like,
yeah.
Someone will be like, well, you go to Covenant, right?
Yeah.
Well, why are you doing this? We're like,
yeah.
At a basketball game, like I'm standing in front of this guy, and he was like,
I live
you guys
that.
Move, I can't see. And I said, no.
I love that.
Senior
for sure.
Night, and I'm going to cheer my loudest and stand in front of you.
He's like, are you a Christian? Do you go to covenant, right? And I was like, yeah.
Shouldn't you move if you're a Christ follower? You know?
It's like, screw you, man.
Turn the other cheek.
And give me everything I want.
I want you to visualize this, though. Don't be pointing at anyone and don't be saying any names, but I want you to visualize someone in your life that you know. You already point to them? I want you to think of someone in your life that you consider a two-faced person. Someone that is one.
Okay.
Come on, be mature about something. Let's go. One person is one way this place, and they're a different way a different place. Okay, two-faced person. Now I want you to envision this. That person walks up to you and says, "Can you believe how two-faced so and so is?" I mean, what are you gonna think about him? Are you kidding me? Yeah, you'd be thinking this is unbelievable that this person is saying that. Well. As a Christian, it's very similar. If we we've got that Christian label, this is who we are, this is who we represent, and then we don't do a thing about our faith, we don't talk to people about it, we live just the same lives as everyone else around us, and we're not different at all, it's very similar, and people are going to have kind of the same thoughts about you. But speaking of people watching you, people are always watching Jesus, constantly. Even his followers who are watching him, I mean, they would say things like, this guy says he's the son of God. He's God in the flesh. So we're just going to wait. He's got to mess up somehow. There's no way. Waiting for him to slip a cuss word or waiting for him to slap somebody on the face, you know?
Yeah.
They won't do that.
They're just waiting, waiting for him to do that. And pay attention. Sometimes they would even try to ask tough questions and trap him. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What we've been doing, asking tough questions. You know, there's actually a verse, though. This is a pretty cool verse. Basically, what it says is, let us live such good lives among the pagans, non-believing people. Let us live such good lives that we will silence their ignorant talk about us. Pretty cool verse, isn't it? I mean, let's not even give them a reason to think we're hypocritical and judgmental. Let's be so Christ-like, I should say, that they have nothing to say against us. They're just going to shut them up. Don't you just want to say, shh, you know? Yeah. Like a sports star hits a shot, shh, to the other crowd. Uh-huh. That's what you want to do. You want to say, see, I am Christ-like.
Are you ever that guy?
Not really. Like, not one of those.
That Adam guy from Tampa Bay and Old Man Frisbee, jeez. I did not
Adam.
Like him.
What did he do wrong?
He was so look at me.
All right.
Like 10 feet near.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a show off.
Don't listen to him. Best man in my wedding one day. All right.
Never.
Next thing, we got a couple more things. Here's another thing to kind of call us out on. Too many Christian people worry about themselves only. And I'm not even talking about like their own personal well-being. I'm talking about like their salvation. What's funny?
We will find out.
We're not.
Anyway, hopefully you haven't thought of this before, but have you heard of people that are like, well, you know what? They can do what they want. I know I'm already going to heaven. Who cares what they think? Has anyone thought that before or heard someone think that?
Nope.
Yeah. It's tempting to do that when someone just won't listen to you. Kind of like sometimes you guys just won't listen to the lesson.
Zing.
Zing.
Zang.
Zing.
But when people just won't listen to you and you just want to say, fine, have fun in hell, you know, you feel like saying that or you feel that about them. But again, as we've been discussing, it's not something we should think. We shouldn't give up on people. Paul even says... This is also a very good verse to talk about. Paul says in one of his letters that even though we know heaven's a better place to be, he doesn't want to go there yet, basically, because he's got work to do here. And that reminded me, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, I had a friend, she was going through a rough time, and I remember one day she told me, she said, I just wish Jesus would come back today. And when she told me that, I said, as amazing as it would be for Christ to come back, for our worries to be over, like, I personally don't feel like my work is done. And I don't know about you guys, but when Jesus asked me what I did for him, I want to have more to say than what I have to say right now. You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm going to be there one day, so right now I'm like, I got more things to do. I think a lot of people think too much about where we're going instead of how we can help other people go there with us. And it's a big part of being a Christian, trying to help others to know what we know, to feel what we feel. We got a couple quotes. You might have heard these before, actually. One of them is, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Christ is calling us to get out of the boat. He's calling us to say, if you step out of the boat onto the waves, you got to know I'm going to be with you. And I know that some of you might kind of blow this off and think, I'm still not going to do this. I'm still not going to talk to people about God and stuff. But again, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. It's got to be you. And the other quote is, if you want your light to shine, go to the
city on a hill.
City on a hill.
City on a hill.
Yeah.
City on a hill.
Anyway, if you want your light to shine, go to the darkest places. And you know the verse, let your light shine before all men. School can be a pretty dark place. A lot of non-believing people, a lot of pretend Christians. It's up to you to let your light shine before all men. Last thing before the Bible verses, just yesterday, it's kind of funny how these things are happening, like the Maury thing last week. Just yesterday, I had a conversation with one of my friends from high school. I probably only talk to him 3 or 4 times a year. He lives like 4 hours away. He and I have had several God conversations in the past. He's a real intelligent guy. In fact, some of the questions I've been raising have been from him. And I wanted to share an encouraging story because he is starting to come around a little bit. It's not something that I'm saying I'm taking credit for, because actually the things he's bringing up to me, like yesterday, he's getting very freaked out by end time stuff. Now, the end times, if we're living in them or not, that's a different topic for a different day. We'll talk about it. But the point that I want to make with our little conversation is that I think now more than ever, in the time we do live, people that are searching for truth need to know what the truth is. You know, people need us more than ever because the times are not good. This world is not getting any better. And I was really encouraged by some of the things he was saying, because I've talked to him for probably five years about God and stuff, and it's always been, he's not real. And now he's thinking, man, I'm hearing all these end times warnings, it's getting me nervous, you know. And that gives me an opportunity to say, you know, let me tell you about Christ again, and maybe he's using this to call you home. So always keep your ears open for stuff like that, but always be ready to give answers for why you believe what you believe. Now, a couple verses. This is actually one of my favorites right here. James 5, 19 and 20. Anyone want to read that if you can? So you can get your voice on the podcast.
What podcast? I was going to use my hand.
What is it?
The thing I've been saying about every week.
It's on the board.
It's on the board.
Right there. Can you read that?
My brothers, if anyone should wander from me, I mean, take two. My brothers, if anyone should wander from the truth and someone would bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thank
James
you.
5, 19 through 20.
Thank you.
Take two.
It's pretty cool.
We should like have a section with him singing the good songs and
we've whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way, save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And the last one of today, Acts 1:8, which just so happens to be the final thing recorded that Christ said before he went up into the heavens. He says this, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses, he says, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, picture this, everyone.
Picture this.
Let's say you've been with Christ his entire life. You've served him. You've been a disciple of his. You've just seen the dude die and rise from the dead. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm leaving now, and now it's your turn. Basically, that's what he's doing. Imagine standing there, like right here. You're standing on the ground, and he goes up in heaven, and you're like, okay, kind of freaking out now, because now I guess it's something I have to do. But he says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Never forget. And I love how it's last thing he said, too. Because now he says, it's your turn. It's your turn to go. We can basically read the Bible all day long, listen to every sermon in the world, talk to it till we're blue in the face. But the fact is, it's really up to no one but yourself to go do it. So hopefully this has encouraged you these 4 weeks. We got one last little non-believer thing. And hopefully once again our youth group will grow. Start bringing people, folks. Start talking to people in your schools. Doesn't have to be sermons. It can be little things here and there, words of encouragement, prayer for them, and that kind of stuff. Time to flip into a non-believer.
Can I please be the non-believer this time? Last week, Charlie, I'm going to be with you, like it or not. Who's up there to believe
you? If he has all the questions.
You sound way too confident in that.
I know. I'm just good because I know what it's like because I'm a man of the
All right, here's the first question, and we'll talk to this side over.
I'm going to be on this side.
Actually, we'll just do for everyone. That way everyone has to pay attention.
Instead of saying, he's not talking to us, we don't have to listen. We'll do it for everyone. This first one is probably pretty quick, but we'll see what you got, all right? Here we go.
What you got?
I'm a non-believer now.
That's non-believer.
Hey, can you recognize me? Here's my question for all of you Christians. My question is, if a brother and sister are to have a kid, it would be, the kid would probably be handicapped, right?
Oh, we just have one
eye.
It's legal.
Just listen.
Adam and Eve.
That's what I'm asking you. If more times than not the kid is handicapped from brother and sisters, how could Adam and Eve's kids have more kids and multiply the earth?
Because
God gave
them master
talents.
It's lame. It's a lame answer.
Because the genetic pool was smaller.
It was only, they were not related.
That's true.
No, not Adam and Eve. They're kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's only one time, like, of incest. Now it's been like 50 times of incest. Because
that was an incest. Who else were they supposed to do?
You want me to make a little chart?
The angels.
They had kids, then they had kids, and they had kids. They're all related. Yes.
No.
Did they have all boys?
What? You ever said you only created two people?
He kind of did.
Adam means man, and he said to multiply and make everyone, basically.
I'm sure they had a bunch because
they had three children first.
I'll make math law.
Can someone answer the question? You want to elaborate on what you said?
I did.
There was only one genetic line, so there's nothing.
How do you know that?
What?
How do you know that?
How do I know there's only genetic? Well, if there's only eight people on Earth, then there would only be one genetic pool.
How?
I said Tyler is my big brother.
All right. Do you find that funny?
What is this question? Hey, Alex,
Joe.
Please don't move. they had a share.
Go ahead.
In the Bible, the command against incest did not happen until Moses. The human species originated, according to the Bible, from Adam and Eve 1, and it is thought that the genetic code was such as the generations go down, the human race begins to degrade unless you diversify the genome enough. And then, so at some point, it had to be split up so that no one would marry their close relative. But in God's design, according to the Bible, it wasn't incest, it was just the way it happened. And the only reason why that code was put in the law was to help the human race not degrade as quickly as it was.
What about Noah?
Yeah, Noah was before Moses.
Okay,
is that kind of like entropy? Like the longer things go, the more chaotic they become?
Genetic mutations happen because a lack of genetic diversity between male and female. The immune system best works when you have diversity in the offspring. That's why at a certain point God had to institute you don't marry your close relative, because the human race was big enough now that you didn't have to. So as weird as it sounds, that's the way I feel.
Makes a little bit of sense, but I'm still not convinced.
I didn't even know.
What was the objection or question?
The what?
The original question.
Just that.
The question is, what does it even matter?
If kids are. Well, because to me.
That's what you're worried about as far as.
But to me, that proves that there was no Adam and Eve, because if brother and sister have all kinds of problems having kids now, why would they be fine back then?
Because of genetics. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because that's what the Bible teaches, that they were the first.
It's still a valid objection to him, so we have to address it.
You don't know, it could be the popular writing genre, autobiographical fiction of that time.
Oh, so you're saying the Bible's fiction. That's great.
What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that.
That's a bad path.
Yeah. I would never say fiction. That means not real.
What do you think I'm going to teach this Sunday?
You confuse me. Just let me put the ball in the hole.
Tell me you want to go to your pool.
Sunday morning?
Yeah.
I got to be there.
Sunday school.
I'll be there.
All right, you guys did pretty good. One thing I would add that goes with, that goes a little bit with Adam was saying. I think of things like, you guys know that we didn't have AIDS until the 80s. Mm-hmm. We didn't have STDs until like the 70s.
No thanks, some guy who made a monkey.
Because of AIDS.
They got it.
Not really, we had, what's his name died of syphilis, right?
STDs, I don't have.
STDs have been around for a few hundred years, but still not.
He's the artist guy that made
Bingo.
What I meant, the 70s. Please listen. The 70s on is when they had like basically STDs tripled. Those are things though that people all before the 70s, 1970, never had to worry about. It's kind of the same thing as the people of Adam and Eve's day. They didn't have to worry about the DNA and the coding and all that stuff. So that's another thing you can throw in. You're like, well, STDs and AIDS just kind of came up. So why couldn't the other thing come up? Because our DNA is like awful now, basically.
Yeah, our immune system is nowhere near as strong as it was back in the creation.
Yeah, fight strong.
Mm-hmm. Headstrong. It's a song.
I know.
All right. Last one of this series is a big one. Who's ready to handle it?
I am.
That is calling.
Tyler,
Nate,
I'll take it, buddy.
Tyler, I got this.
This is a very broad one. This is one that's asked a lot.
Oh, man.
If you don't have some things to say to this, you're in trouble.
Okay, I've got this, Tyler.
Here we go.
All right.
Sure. I lost all my focus because I got
pagan. It's a pagan.
I'm a pagan.
Is it?
Why? I did it.
Okay.
Why are...
No.
No. Why are there so many religions? Why is yours the right one?
Because
Christianity is the only religion that has the intertwined balance between religion and philosophy.
Hmm? You're going to have to explain that.
A lot of them branch off, like Christianity and Baptism and Catholicism.
I'm not talking about different branches of Christianity. I'm talking about different religions.
I know.
Well,
Hinduism
can't be possible.
Well, they have some cookies out there, too, that make up that stuff. Like, the potion that's...
Oh, so you didn't make it up?
No, the potion that's known to the woman. So he saw Jesus Christ on the streets of New York City in, like, 18-something, and told him that he needed to do this religion.
So everyone made it up but your religion, basically, is what you're telling me.
No, Catholics.
Hinduism was made up.
Hmm?
What was?
Don't tell that to Hindus.
Think about what you say before you say it.
No, we're not here.
Well, I can tell one thing that, for me at least, is like, this is the science geek in me jumping out. But, archaeologically, and I don't have that, I know that there's things like, as far as like recorded, like actual physically found recordings of the life of Jesus and stuff, we're talking multiple hundreds of different accounts that have actually been archaeologically discovered and stuff that point to the same direction, and that all point to these are the events that happened in the life of a man named Jesus Christ, and this is what happened after he died, and this is what happened. And all this stuff points to the fact that he is, like, the risen Savior, So, and no other religion has that much archaeological, like, evidence to back it up, really. And there's a good place I can find it. So, that's what that's going to be.
Plus, I would add the Bible, and because archaeology is increasingly backing up the Old and New Testaments, it gives more confidence to them, and the Old New Testaments do provide answers for everything, where other religions fall short.
But there's like so many followers in other religions, and they all could tell me the same kind of things as you guys, of why theirs is the right one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the verse where it's like talking about how Satan will make different like things to try to tempt you into following something that is not
You asking me as a Christian? Because there's many places
that
it says, watch out for deceivers, watch out for the father of lies tempting you.
There's something like there's like a specific part where it's talking about religions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's several verses that say that basically boil down to that.
I bet Kishnan, Muhammad, and other people have said things like that before also. Because here's the thing, you guys are talking about Jesus a lot. There's a lot of religions that talk about Jesus too, but they don't say he's the Son of God. They say he was a good man. He was a prophet or a good man. He did good things. He was not the Son of God. He did not rise from the dead. So the things about Jesus having evidence and stuff, to me, is like, well, other people talk about him too.
Yeah. Well, does that negate the evidence? They disagree with the evidence, but it doesn't negate the evidence.
They're not claiming the same thing.
Hmm?
They're not claiming the same thing.
What's the difference?
The claim.
What is the claim?
Yeah. It's not about the religion. It's like a lot of religions have the same Bible.
How come we
like we have the same Bible that the Catholics do?
The whole system and Christianity are basically the same thing. I hate when people say that they're totally different things. They're not. They're the exact same thing.
No,
it's just that people say that they aren't
still.
For the sake of arguing.
What Catholics?
They have the Pope and all the
It's still a branch of Christianity.
I think we're getting off topic.
Yeah. Let's think about, like,
the Roman
Catholics. I was hoping somebody, back to Christian, I was hoping somebody right off the bat. I was hoping somebody right off the bat would say, well, this isn't a fair question because I'm not in a religion. Christianity is not a religion.
That's helpful.
And the last, very last thing that Jesus wanted on this earth was another religion. In fact, he said that many, many times. Because religion is full of rules. You know, it's a belief system, things you have to do. There's a lot of religions that have, through time, changed and made things up. And my Jesus, the one to save me, wants a relationship with me, not a religion, not a set of rules. Go ahead.
I don't know if I totally just call that total bull and just walk away at that point.
It's not helpful.
If I was a non-believer, that would just be like, wow, that was lame, just walk away.
What would you say then?
I don't know. I'd probably just be like, oh, well.
Sometimes you don't get through. That's just the hard truth of it. But, you gotta try. I'm just going to illustrate it.
If they talk about our religion, does the Bible talk about their stuff?
I think it talks about Judaism.
I will say one thing it says. It talks about quarreling, you know, fighting about issues that are like maybe within the church or like things that a lot of people disagree about. It says watch out for that because it's like foolish talk. That's what it's saying. And I think a lot of like the branches and different certain things, the Bible clearly says, watch out for that stuff. Stay away from that kind of thing.
This brings up a really good question that I actually have for you.
Okay.
As a whatever, you know.
Is it real or not?
Yeah, this is, I'm not for a second.
Okay.
Just a little bit of background. My family, like, we're like first generation Christians in my family. Most of my other family was like, as well, Jews. Like, you know, they're practicing Jews, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they don't believe necessarily that Christ is like the Messiah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they do believe in like Yeshua and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Father, but just not Jesus. So, like, I have a hard time saying, well, how can, like, I mean, what's up with them? Like,
that's
the
toughest thing.
Israel right now, like, are they saved?
The toughest thing to me is people that are, like, amazing. They serve God, the same God that we serve. But
yeah.
Then they're like, but we don't believe that Jesus was Son of God. But then there's verses, I am the way, no one gets the Father except through me.
Yeah,
you know,
so, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not saved, but at the same time, to me, that's pretty clear for Christ to say that.
That's what I say.
So
yeah, it's just hard. It's hard.
Very hard.
Things
very hard.
Giving credit to.
Yeah.
Are they doing it for their own glory?
Mm-hmm.
If you're an awesome religious, you know, glory to God, which is rightfully now through Christ, and you're stealing it.
Well, I think the main problem with, I think they do have a good case against Christianity because the Jews got the ultimate sign from God that they're the Messiah, or everyone who claimed to be the Messiah and was nailed upon the cross with the ultimate sign from God, that they actually were not the Messiah, and then that's what happened to Jesus, and that's what they bring back every time.
Another thing I would touch on is one of the things we've talked about is the fact of the writings. And you guys remember me telling you that there's like 6,000 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament? Well, another thing is there's like millions of other writings about the life of Jesus that aren't even in the Bible. They're not even like Christian writers, but these people were like witnessing the events and writing them down, like written history, which is how we learn things.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. So you definitely want to throw some of that out. I don't think to this question there's any one thing that you would say that would absolutely blow them away. But again, the whole point is to try to what?
Kind of
see, want to see. Do your very best with a difficult situation. I don't think there's a single person on the earth that hasn't ever asked themselves this question before. But here's another big thing that we haven't really talked about. When you talk to people, please encourage them and tell them to seek the truth. Because when they do that, while you're praying for them, talking to them, tell them to open the Bible up, give them a passage to read or something, through that, that is how God is going to, you know, make that plant grow. So definitely tell them to do that.
I'm trying to inspire them to seek truth, because you can even sort of gently challenge them and see, you know, ask them, are you interested in knowing truth or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when, if you put that question to them, then it kind of exposes at least themselves what their motivation is to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're confident that, you know, you can say, just go ahead and seek the truth, and I think you will find, as I did, when I decided I don't care about being right, I just want to know the truth. See, when you take away that prideful look of, like,
yeah,
you know, being accused of,
like, you know it all.
Right, and you say everyone else is wrong. It's like, no, I don't care about it at all. I just want to know the truth. That kind of can disarm them, I think.
And you definitely, you know, again, as we've been talking about, personalize it and say, you know what, my life would not be the same without Christ in my life, and that's from the bottom of my heart, I can tell you that much. And you can also say things like the Bible is something that has never changed, there's other religions that have changed, and
people have attempted to change the Bible too, and
yeah,
the world works.
Find me another book that is prophecies being fulfilled constantly, like the Bible, you know. All kinds of things in that debate.
We got a good number of people on this list.
What?
Churches that average more than 2,000 in worship attendance. We have a good number of people. A good number of churches in Indiana.
A lot of big churches in around Indianapolis, yeah.
It's 8 o'clock, and that concludes our radio broadcast.
Bye, Danny.